The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So there's a fable that's told about I suppose some monarch that wanted to find the wisest person in the land. And so the ministers gathered up three of the people considered the wisest. And the question was to discover who among them was the wisest. So this monarch decided that to lock these three wise people in the dungeons, or to put them in the dungeon, put them down there in the dungeon, and came down with them and said, "You're going to be left here in this room, and your job is to figure out how to get out. And no one's going to help you. If you don't get out, you'll starve to death down here." Sounds pretty, you know, these monarchs can not sometimes have their ways. So these people, these wise people, gulped, and the door was slammed shut on them. And they looked at the door, and there was a big lock, kind of old-fashioned thick lock. And with a certain number of combination things connected to it, and keyholes connected to it, and puzzles connected to it, and it looked like a big, challenging thing. So two of them went to work right away to figure out, you know, the lock and how it worked, and try to figure out combinations, and it seemed like a complicated combination, so there had to be some key or some code or something that they could figure out. And they were using all their intelligence trying to figure out how to do this lock. And the third one just sat back and against the back wall and looked at the ceiling and napped, took it easy, meditated maybe. And the others were sweating for a long time. And finally, when the two got exhausted and tired of their efforts to try to figure out this lock, the third one got up and looked at the door and pushed it, and it swung open. There was certainly a big lock on the door, but it had never been locked. So this story is a story of how sometimes we get caught up in papancha. We get caught up in stories and ideas of what has to happen and how complicated it is. And it's not uncommon for people to get kind of lost, caught up in the world of thinking, the maze, M-A-Z-E, the maze of thoughts, where there's no way out. As long as we're thinking about the problem and having these usual stories about a problem, trying to figure out in the thinking mind, for example, there's no solution. Or the solutions are not really going to help. But, you know, what's the equivalent of just like relaxing and just pushing it open and the door swings open? Is there a solution which is so easy that it's right there, a paradigm shift that's right there that is not found by thinking or figuring out? And I think that people who meditate, I hope, will sooner or later have some experience of this, of having the experience of having a problem, having something that seems really important to figure out, and that the automatic way of trying to figure that out is with a thinking mind. And the thinking mind goes in circles and goes in this maze. And then meditating and somehow relaxing deeply enough and letting go deeply enough, And the thinking mind quiets down, and maybe it becomes quiet, and not thinking about these things so much. And that in that mind that's free of thinking or quiet, thinking is quiet down, the whole problem, the whole situation is seen in a whole different light. Seen in a way that it just couldn't be seen as long as we're thinking about it all, trying to figure it out and solving the problem. Sometimes what we discover is that there was no problem to begin with. Or the problem is not what we thought the problem was. It's very different. Or what we're trying to fix doesn't need to be fixed. Maybe there's a problem, but how we're fixing it doesn't need to be fixed that way. So I know for me that when I was younger, a big component of every problem I tried to solve was how I would look good in it, in the results. How I would come out ahead, how I would be the wise person. And that made whatever problems I had to solve much more complicated when I was inserting myself and my self-image into the middle of it. And I learned, a big part through meditation, that this concern about how I got seen by other people and looking good was a mental activity of a busy mind. And as my mind got quiet, that concern fell away. It wasn't so active. And then I could go and address the different issues I was involved in, and I had more choice about whether I inserted myself in the problem solving or not. And I learned that many times I didn't have to insert myself. I could take care of the problem without concern about, you know, whether I look good in the process of doing it. I found many times that the problems that I have, or, you know, it's. I think maybe with someone, maybe Mark Twain or Orson Welles or someone said something like, "I've had many problems in my life, most of them which never happened," because many of us live in the world of imagination, and anticipatory problems are a great one. You know, all the problems you're going to have, all the problems that are up ahead, are. Some degree involve your imagination. You're imagining what's going to happen in the future. And I have a very good track record of imagining futures that never happen. I don't know about you. You have a good track record? You got much better at doing that thing? Yeah, you do? You predict the future and it always happens that way? I think most people are a very poor track record and predicting what's going to happen. And so, you know, if your problems are coming, they're coming tomorrow, the next week, you know, chances are that your imagination is kicked in. And how big is your imagination? How big is the papancha, the abstract thinking involved? And if you're trying to solve a problem which hasn't occurred yet, and you're clearly going to be in the world of thinking. And I found a lot of relief sometimes sitting down to meditate or other ways like this and letting the mind become quiet, and the problem that I had that was so important dissipates in the quiet of the mind, meditative mind. And then I look around and I realize it's not happening now. That's not happening now. So then you could notice that it's not happening now, and then you can, of course, choose to pick it up. Right? You realize when you're thinking about that problem that you're anticipating, so wouldn't your time be well spent by getting back on the bandwagon and getting back on the horse and thinking about it some more? Or you're better off having a break, having vacation. I've often, one of the interesting ways I've seen this kind of thing happen, it's a little bit of a separate, is when I'm involved in the world of my thinking, and thoughts, and especially the to-do list, all the things that have to be done, that I can sometimes feel hemmed in by time. It's not enough time to do things. And if I stop in the middle of my harried life and meditate for a few minutes, for a while, then miraculously, after I stop meditating, I have more time. I made time, right? Time. You know, somehow the vision of my world, what I see through my eyes, is very much conditioned by the activities of my thinking mind and the speed in which it's operating and the way it's, the papancha is operating. And so to have the ability to settle down the thinking mind, to step out of its orbit, out of its gravitational pull, allows your eyes to see a situation in a different way. And it's a great thing to see the world, to see yourself, to see the world free of this world of thoughts and papancha and shoulds and shouldn'ts and future imaginations and what we think people will think of us. That was a big one for me from when I was younger, was my concern about what people would think about me. And the only way that I could be concerned about what people are going to think about me was if I had papancha, if I had imaginary thoughts and ideas and stories about those people and what they were thinking. So meditation as a vehicle, as a means to quiet down the papancha, quiet down that proliferating thinking, quiet down the story-making mind, and to understand that that's a very important part of meditation is very important, so that we're willing to put the thinking mind aside. Or if we can't put it aside, at least stop investing it with so much importance. Say, well, I can't stop thinking, but at least I can stop believing that it's important to think. You know. So just because often the fueling it is the belief, this is important, but you know, this is not important. Right now it's not important. I'm only meditating for 20 minutes. I don't have to solve the world's problems in this 20 minutes. I'll get to it later today. And take a vacation, take a break. And to have the ability to drop and settle into a quieter place where the story-making mind is not operating will give you a much clearer eyes to see what's going on. So that when you have to think about things, you'll think about them with greater clarity and wisdom. And I suspect that more of the doors that you face will swing open if you are relaxed. Okay, so thank you. So now we have 15 minutes for our temple cleaning. For some of you, this is a great time to be mindful and watch your mind and what you do. Some people, the transition from being quiet and doing nothing to the more social world of going around the temple and working and doing is just a ripe place for papancha. All this stuff comes pouring back, so you can watch, see what goes on. I think it would be very helpful if maybe a couple of people could help Linda, who knows. Anybody here know how to pack the books? Done it before? Eileen, anybody else? Would you be willing to do it, the three of you? Pack as many boxes as you can? And then I wonder if there's a person with a stout constitution, whatever that means. Stout constitution, whatever that means. Who... I don't know what it means.